there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
As we've gone down this road in Genesis, we've learned five lessons. Today's the fifth. We learned that God reveals Himself to us through the Bible. It's His Word. That God created the universe, everything that we see, who we are, what we see, feel, hear, touch, the entirety of the universe. That God created man and woman in His image, purposeful human beings. That God created man and woman to complete one another in His divine institution of marriage. And today, we reach chapter 3 in verses 1 through 7. And the fifth lesson we learn is this entrance into paradise of evil through temptation, doubt, and disobedience. We're going to read now from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Hear now then the word of God. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Well, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. He ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as your word is proclaimed, that you speak to our heart, minds, and souls, that the perfection of the word of God is realized in us, that we may change in some way to walk the walk of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've gone down a road here in Genesis to get back to basics of the Christian faith. Genesis lays out in the first three chapters the basics of the Christian faith. When I think about this particular part, you know, we think about temptations and doubt. Have you ever been tempted on anything? I mean, when we are faced with a decision, should I do the right thing? Should I do the wrong thing? We have to make a choice. Someone once said that the human life is the sum total of all the choices we've made. Of the thousands and perhaps, you know, depending on how old you are, millions of choices that we've made since we were born, here we are today. That's marvelous in the sight of God because the Holy Spirit guides your hearts to be here today even, to hear this message. So you made a choice to be here. You were guided by the Spirit of God to be here. As we make choices, we are confronted with temptation and doubt. And confronted with temptations and doubt, we make decisions. If we are following the will of God and we are doing what God wants us and we're going down that road and we reach that temptation point, we shouldn't turn around and do the wrong thing. Very simple, isn't it? Isn't it easy to do? It's hard to do. It's hard to do because, why? Because of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This entrance into paradise of evil through temptation, doubt, and disobedience. First of all, we have this crafty serpent who talks. So in verse 1, he says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" There's a couple things that come out here is this idea of serpent. Now we know that later on in Genesis that the serpent is made to crawl on his belly and eat dust the rest of his days. So he must not have looked like what we think of as a snake. But in retrospect, when we look at what Revelation 12 says, and you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. In 2 Corinthians, he says, "But I am afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere, pure devotion to Christ." The serpent is a manifestation of Satan. The rebellion of Satan must have occurred sometime after Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, or 2:25, and Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Isaiah tells us about this Satan, about this serpent. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn." God speaking of Satan. "You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" Eve walking in this paradise, seeing cattle and bears and lions and tigers, without having to say, "Oh my." And she sees this serpent, whatever it looked like. And the one thing to remember is this serpent was created by God, the being itself. And so Satan, this fallen archangel now who is on the earth, we see in other points of Scripture that we don't see here in Genesis, but we are revealed later in Scripture. Now we know that Satan is this fallen archangel who's on the earth, this supernatural spirit must have then possessed the body of this snake. And this animal had the attributes of being crafty, who now was possessed by this demon, by Satan himself, this fallen archangel. And I just say all this so that you understand, you know, this is who Eve was speaking to. And perhaps, and obviously unbeknownst to her, she didn't see this battle of this archangel who wanted to be like God and wanted to even be above God. She didn't see all that. All she saw in front of her was this serpent speaking to her. And when he speaks, he casts doubt. When we are confronted with those types of situations where, not necessarily speaking, but in circumstances or people that we run into and we have to make a decision, don't we sometimes wrestle with that in our minds? See, what Eve was confronting was far worse than that. She was confronting the most evil thing in existence. And the first thing that evil does is cast doubt. So what's Satan saying? He's saying, "Well, did God really say that? You must not eat from any tree in the garden." You see what he did there? He didn't say, "Did God really say you should not eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil?" He begins to cast broad doubt in her. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from any tree? Come on. I mean, is this guy really good and kind? This God? I mean, it's got to be some mistake, right? That's the first thing that Satan cast doubt on. He insinuated doubt as to her understanding of God's will for them in the Garden of Eden. He led her to a supposed true interpretation. This Adam and Eve who walked with God, who had been part of God's relationship in the garden, walking with him, being with him, understanding with him, talking with him, and who knows, we don't know how long that was. She receives this serpent who's speaking with her as this credible messenger who has true understanding. And so here's the biggest mistake that human beings make, and that comes in verse 2. Eve interacts with evil. The woman said to the serpent, now she's talking back to him, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." So as Eve is responding to the devil and kind of thinking, well, okay, I know what God's saying. I understand what he's saying, but you know, you're telling me something slightly different. I'm not sure, but this is what he said. And she's extolling this great liberty that he's given them. You can eat from any of these trees. This is one. I'm telling you not to touch, not to eat from. But she adds that, to not even touch it, let alone eat it. And perhaps Adam told her that for her protection, who knows. But number one, remember now, he's right here as this is going on. You know, he's not away from her, he's not far away, and it's a story she'll go to tell him. He's right with her. What happens is the serpent is going to deny the truthfulness of God's word, and he's going to suggest that if you're disobedient, far from bringing any disadvantages, it's going to be advantageous for you to be disobedient. Have any of you ever fell into that trap? Where you know you see something that's good or bad in front of you and you have to make a decision. And the less of a relationship that you have with God, remember, we've talked about this so many times, that Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the less relationship that you have with Christ, the more susceptible you're going to be to make wrong decisions. Amen? Your discernment is going to be affected. You're not going to understand what it means to be obedient to God. And God is not a wicked taskmaster who's going to beat you if you're disobedient. That's not it. But nonetheless, you will have consequences to disobedience. And what does he tell her? Because he's beginning to cast doubts on what God had said, because she is interacting with him in conversation while Adam is present, he then goes a bit further now. So in verse 4 and 5, he says, "You won't surely die. Come on. Because, let me tell you, God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like God, because you're going to know good and evil." And so now the serpent, first casting doubt on the word of God, now is saying that the word of God isn't even true. That if you're disobedient and you do this, it's going to be great for you. It's not going to be a disadvantage. Don't pay attention to him. He's emboldened. You know, when we confront evil and we engage it in conversation, and doubt begins to be cast, and the untruthfulness of God's word seems to enter our minds and hearts, we end up making bad decisions. And the more that we engage evil, the more evil's going to push us further away. Satan was then emboldened because she was open to him, open to talk to him, in other words. So this lie actually led to her and Adam spiritual death, separation from God. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says that Satan has been a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. One of the mistakes that we make is to think that evil is just something out there that, it's bad stuff and who cares and what's it about. Evil is a real presence. I was just reading the other day that ISIS in northern Iraq crucified a father and his 12-year-old son because they would not abdicate their faith in Jesus Christ and convert to Islam. What is that? Hate. Evil. Evil exists, beloved. And evil wants to confront you. Evil wants to cast doubt in your minds. Evil wants to deceive you of the truthfulness of God. And you have to push it away. And if you don't push it away, it will have a negative impact on your life, not a positive one. And so you don't engage evil. And so what ends up happening? As Eve moves further down this road, we see in verse 6, when the woman saw now, she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and it was pleasing to the eye, yeah, and it was desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some, and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Eve decided when she was engaged with evil that evil was telling the truth. That she maybe misunderstood God or his word, so she took the path in the wrong direction. It involved seduction. It involved deception. It involved making her believe that the act that she was engaged in was right. And her eyes and her imagination kind of do the rest. I mean, don't we see that in our life? When we see things that are pleasing to the eye, right? They kind of look good. Look like that's the right thing to do, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You know, it's desirable. I'd like to do that because it seems like a good thing. But the Holy Spirit in your heart is a power who will convict you and guide you always to the word and will of God. So something that looks good, something that seems desirable, we have to not take it and eat it, consume it in our lives. We shall not be complacent Christians who just take in everything that the culture gives us. We need to combat the culture with the truth of the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. We don't let the culture integrate into the church. You know, we need to let the church integrate into the culture. We don't come in here for an hour and leave and hope to come back the next hour. We engage the culture around us. We are called to spread the gospel of the Word of God, and we are called to make disciples. The church's responsibility are relatively simple. We don't need to make it hard. That should be the focus of the life of our life, the Christian life. That is not what Eve did, however. She engaged evil. She succumbed to her physical appetites, which she could see. She let her imagination run wild with the possibilities. Thrust into this temptation, this doubt. She shifted her commitment to God to doing her own will instead of the will of God. That's the whole root of what's going on here. Is the autonomous fallen nature of a human being wanting to always do our own will, mark our own destinies without any interference from some God thing. So Eve succumbs to temptation, and the eyes then of both of them, Adam and Eve, were opened. They realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves. The innocence that was given Adam and Eve in chapter 2, verse 25, when they said they were naked and they were not ashamed. There was an innocence of their marriage together. There was an innocence of their being together. And that had been shattered and replaced by guilt and shame. Yeah, the serpent promised that their eyes would be open to see each other naked and ashamed. Their security vanishes. So does their trust in each other. And they try to cover up what they view as their own disobedience. They try to cover up with what? fig leaves. In other words, they try to make their own covering for their disobedience to God. Human beings do that all the time. We try to rationalize our own selves, right? Well, I'm going down this path, and it's all right. You know, it's God's good, and he'll be cool with this. And we cover ourselves with fig leaves just to move the judgment of God away from us because we are naked and ashamed in the heart of what we're doing. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit, but yet we go down a path that we know is wrong. Same fig leaves we use. The bottom line of this whole thing is that this relationship with God was broken. And Adam, as the federal head of the human race, went down the wrong path. And it destroyed the human spiritual relationship with God. It was only recovered by Christ on the cross, who reconciled us, who paid atonement for these sins. This disobedience of Adam and Eve has been passed on through generation, like a virus. And human beings, men and women, are fallen. The hole in their heart needs to be filled with something. And most people fill it with the fruit of some tree. And yet we can fill it with the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the will of God the Father. Amen? Genesis chapter 3 is truth. This isn't some mythical story. If it is, it's going to cast doubt on so much that Jesus said, that Paul said, because they talk about Adam, they talk about Eve. And not as mythical things about evil and good, but about reality of the first human beings. God has reconciled us to himself, and that is marvelous. And as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our relationship with God is restored. And that's what Genesis to Revelation is all about, beloved. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we got to remember, Lord, what you have shown us. We can't disregard it. We can't act like that there's not evil around us, Lord. We can't act like every decision we make is just a cool, fun thing to do, and it's not hurting you in any way, not hurting anybody else in any way. No. That's not it, Father. You have to give us that knowledge and grace, Lord, that wisdom that you impart by your Holy Spirit, all of that, that we can be discerning Christians, that yes, indeed, we can know the difference between right and wrong. Why? Not from our own accord, because we could never know that. We would always make wrong decisions, Lord. We know that because your Holy Spirit lives in our heart, because you give us discernment, wisdom, knowledge. And as we build our relationship with you, as we read Scripture, as we talk with other Christians, as we go out and engage the culture, to push back the evil that surrounds us, Lord, not to engage it in a dialogue with Satan, but to engage it with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that we may fight and push back even the things that are happening in Washington, the heroin addiction, the alcoholism, the homelessness, the helplessness of people who just desire and need something to fill their hearts that only you can do. So, Lord, we love you as your children. Give us strength and power and not timidity to go in your name. Jesus Christ, we pray.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.